When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Here's a little story about a girl named Lucky, JK, not Lucky, Sabrina Jalise, and another girl named Mae Martin, and we're teens, and we're living in Toronto, and the winters are cold, but the friendship is warm. We basically have been friends forever, and I'm so proud of her. She moved to England, I moved to America, and she has done it, man. She is sells out shows constantly. She is famous there. She's got a TV show coming out on Netflix early next year where Lisa Kudrow plays her mom. Holy moly. Check out my conversation with my friend who flew in from England just to chat with me on my living room table and other stuff that she's busy with in her career. Look, why don't you just stick around for the chat? This is Mae Martin. These earbuds have been in all my guests' ears.
Oh my God,
this was in Ashley Tisdale's ear. Yeah, totally. In Ashley Tisdale's true ear.
Oh my God.
The pop star friend of mine herself, whose house I went to this morning for a sound bath. And let me tell you.
Sound bath.
You were cynical about it when I said sound bath. Or it seems like you're like, what is this thing?
I'm open to it. I try to be open, but, you know, show me the stats.
I mean, stats, like... It's just when you, the stats are really like at the beginning of it, she takes like a tuning fork and she hits it and puts it on different points of your body and you feel the vibrations like going down your spine, or you feel the vibration, you feel it like you really. So that's, I came to all this stuff with like the most cynicism. But you know, Shauna's like a little witchy.
Your wife is a witch.
But you haven't been brought over. What would you do ayahuasca?
That's a whole other conversation, but in terms of like witchiness,
will you let me ask it later?
Yeah, for sure. I have some crystals now.
Yeah,
and crystals. I like, if I'm in private, sometimes I'll light a candle and make a wish, or like if there's my dad's kind of witchy. Like when we were kids, we were driving along the highway and we saw the new moon, but through the window of the car, and he was like, oh no, you can't look at the new moon through glass. And he pulled over to
the new moon, meaning a full moon?
No, new moon, like sliver, brand new. Yeah, and he was that's bad luck.
I can see why that vibe's like
you
cutting.
You can feel. See.
Yeah, that moon's kind of shady.
Yeah, you don't want to see that. It's like through glass. Yeah, it's sharp. So we pulled over and he made us get out of the car and turn a coin over in our hand and then say, good evening, Lady Moon, and bow to the moon.
He made this up.
No, this is something he's done his whole life.
Did he ever write fiction or just nonfiction?
He's writing fiction now. He's writing a children's book.
Because where did he learn the dance that he made you do to the moon?
Maybe his parents, I don't know. But my brother was like 14 at the time and humiliated and furious. We were in our karate gis.
Okay.
By the side of a road.
Paint the whole picture. Where are you geographically?
By the side of a road, a busy road.
In Toronto?
Yeah. Coming from karate class.
And he saw the moon, so he pulled over.
Yeah, he was really stressed.
That's really like, it's like a colorful indie movie, like dad on a breakdown.
Totally. It's like Steve Carell with a beard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's his like turning point.
Yeah.
Do you know how to write a movie?
Little Miss Sunshine. No, we should write one.
I know. It's just so hard. I'm going to write a movie eventually. Will
Same.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Not write a movie?
Do you know what you want? You want that moment where you hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da and you're in the cinema.
What the fuck?
I'm singing.
Oh my God.
That's the, what is that? The paramount.
Let me get my sound effects going.
That's too loud.
I'm so sorry about that. Hey, you did not deserve that.
Wait, what did I just say?
You are one pathetic loser.
You were like, I want to make a movie because I want to. Everybody knows the feeling of wanting to hear those sounds.
Isn't that the Do you know what
ugly,
I'm referring?
You're ugly, and your mother ugly, and your sister ugly. You're just plain old ugly.
I'm okay. I feel great.
The context you have to know is that May and I have been friends since we've been friends for longer than we've not been friends.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah. I was 16 and you were
about the tender
age of 3. I held her in my arms and I said, "You got potential, kid."
Yeah, maybe 18 years we've been friends. But then this is the mistake we always make.
I know. Okay. That's why we stopped. We didn't do it right off the top. We're just giving them little peppers of it. So, we'll give them memories as we talk about...
like normal stuff, day-to-day stuff. Because the mistake we always make is we feel like we have to get the whole history of our friendship into the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We've done this before.
I do just want to tell them about our sketch later, though. We'll tell them.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we should say that now that I think one of the things that we share is that both of us, maybe the worst we've ever bombed on stage was together.
Yeah,
it was one of, and thank God we were
like,
together.
Okay, so we were young. We met at Second City and at the Tim Sims Playhouse. They had like a competition. May, there was an article written in the Toronto Star where we literally are just falling straight into the trap.
We're falling into the trap.
And we literally cut to like a minute ago. You were like, "Do not do it," and I'm like, "Toronto Star, I go to Miss Phyllis," and I show her that article, and it's May Martin, and I'm like, I had this youthful sort of like, who's this other young bitch on the comedy scene?
We were the teen comics. Yeah.
Every insecurity I had about myself, I put onto her, which was like, you're just funny because you're little and like, you're not actually a real anything.
Yeah, same.
Then I just remember holding my backpack straps, like my thumbs under my backpack straps and watching you on stage and being like, oh, she's going to be my fucking friend. Like,
oh,
this girl's like...
straps is such a nice detail.
Because it really was this like...
you were like ready to go.
Yeah, I was just like completely taken by you and like complete. I start bawling.
Yeah, it looks like you're.
I have a throat ache, so don't think that every time I gurgle my throat.
Wait, do people say throat ache? Isn't it sore throat?
Parents.
You have a headache or a sore throat.
Wait, what?
You can have a headache or you can have a sore throat. You can have a throat ache. So the point is, we were rivals. Then we were like, we should do sketch comedy together. And it was a short-lived and
it was like
vicious.
This showcase where everyone who's anyone in the Toronto comedy scene, I mean, really just like the Comedy Network people were there. And it was like a time to really shine.
Yeah. And we were like, we had been rehearsing. We'd written this sketch that was, maybe the sketch was like.
I think that also the acoustics were great.
Okay,
like,
okay. Now
you're
like, it was. I think the lighting was bad. No, it was awesome.
I opened for Chelsea Peretti once and we were like having that chat about one of the crowds. It was like two shows in one night. And she's like, yeah, at a certain point you start listing off, it was a deep room, it was that. And it's like, we get it. You bombed. Like, you just bombed.
Like, so we'd written this scene that was maybe 18 minutes long. It was so long.
It was really long.
So, and there was no way out
of it. The premise, though, tell the premise.
The premise was...
I mean, imagine thinking this premise was, like, what needed to be seen. Like, I was mocking the homeless. It was, like, one...
Wait, were you the homeless woman?
I probably was. I mean, also racially hilarious.
The scene was that I was a businesswoman. And then
I was her co-worker from work, but she was discovering that I was like
pretending to be homeless at lunch.
Pretending to be homeless for money. And it's like, whose side were we on? They were like, what story were we even trying to tell?
There were no punchlines in it.
I think we just saw like Second City. We saw like these like amazing like female actresses being like these characters. And we're like, let's be characters.
Yeah. And it was a lot of passive aggression between the characters. And about 4 minutes in, I think we realized it was like silence. I remember looking into your eyes with like the realization of like, what do we do?
It was also where I was like, I cannot perform with people because it's bad enough when you're bombing by yourself. But like to have to look at a friend and like know that they're kind of blaming you and you're kind of blaming them. And you're just like, well.
And it was like, what are
you want it? Because you want to be turned to the audience and be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like no one's having fun. Like we've written all this dialogue. You don't like it. This is not connecting.
Yeah.
I gotta go. Let's just go.
Let's just go.
I did it a network run through for sitcom Carol's Second Act.
Now for your daily reminder that I'm the star of a sitcom.
I don't think I told you about this. There was a network run through and I said a joke and it didn't land. It was just like very, there was like a long silence. And then I just like didn't really even tag it. I just was like, and that, so that's what I ordered. Like, is what, because what I, anyways. And then Patty started improvising with me, and the whole, like, the energy of the network run through. I mean, those things are just so high pressure.
Mm.
And it was just like a wild lesson.
Lessons!
It was a two-part lesson. Yeah. One of them is like, don't give a fuck. So then after that, like, that doesn't, I mean, like, what is it? It was a silence and then everyone moves on. But like, it can feel so like,
oh my God.
Oh my God, I'm an actress and this was the thing that you.
Yeah.
And then the second part of the lesson is like, it's not, this is not stand up. So like going, deciding to be like, and so anyways, what did everybody do last week is like not going to help the process. It's not the right way to do it, but yeah. I'm just learning how to be an actress.
Yeah.
Do you, how are did you, learn you how to be an actress? It? Like who, May, so May has a show called Feel Good that's coming out at the beginning of next year. And it's honestly so good. I've watched it.
Can I just say,
so
Sabrina,
proud of her.
Just stop Lisa making eye
Kudrow,
contact.
Lisa Kudrow. I'm just like.
Okay, once you, when you started talking nice things, you just stop making eye contact.
Okay, well then that's something deeper about me that we should go into. I mean, isn't it hard to be vulnerable?
Yeah, yeah,
I think
really
compliments,
hard.
I find them. You told me I smelled good yesterday and I've told you my yeah. armpits still smell even though I washed them.
No,
like,
I said
hair is held onto the BO.
I was like, you smell so good, and you went, my armpits smell like onions.
How did you learn how to act? Because you're so good and vulnerability is the key.
Thanks.
Yeah. Tell me. Tell me acting tips.
I don't know, man. I found it really hard and intimidating.
Well, like, did you get a coach? I have a coach, Ted Sublerski, who's
Ted
the best
Sublerski.
And he's in New York and we FaceTime, like,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I did not have a coach, but a lot of the show is just reliving traumatic events from my real life, so that made it easier. And then
that is like such a, I just want to stand here with you and be like, I'm so glad life in this moment, there's this understanding that making things from real things resonates.
Yeah,
and
authored
that you
stuff.
And like, it seems like a trick, but it's like, no, like actually mirroring things as close to things that have happened in your life is goody goody.
It's goody goody.
It's totally goody goody.
Yeah.
People spin around being like, what's Cheryl feeling? And
wait.
It's like, what did feel when she felt kind of like character that you're creating?
Wait, yeah. I should say though that I wasn't recreating like specific events and people, but it was,
you can't,
like,
that's the whole annoying part. But is I that was, you've got to do specific, but then even as I said, I can't have them listening to this being like, that's me.
I know, but you kind of, you take a feeling and then you narrativize the feeling.
Yes.
In the
yes.
most effective way and possible. You... So it's like my, like the my character in it is like, has all the same issues as me,
mm-hmm.
but like dialed up to 100 and just, I don't know.
And it's also, I like that you come off as an asshole in it. You're like not afraid of that. I feel like that would probably be a downfall of mine, would be like a bunch of scenes where I'm like so sympathetic or something.
I mean, I was stressed about, like, being in the edit was really hell. Watching myself is hard, shitty.
To see yourself.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, that's how I talk? That's how my face looks?
Oh my God, yeah.
How I walk? Like, everything. Yeah, that was intense. No one should have to look at themselves, especially, like, having sex. Like, I can never have sex again. No.
You didn't feel sexy about it?
No, watching it.
You didn't feel sexy watching you sex?
No, because in my dreams,
my reality is your reality. Come on.
Did you feel sexy watching it?
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
I don't know. I'm trying to. I mean, like now, I'm trying to think. Is like, were they all like sad times or something? I just feel like if I was videotaping myself fucking, then. I mean, yeah, it's like hard. I mean,
I think it's
so
like you have an idea in your head of what it will look like. And I was like, oh, yeah, it'll look pretty cool. And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, no.
I know.
But sex
it's
is
devastating.
Not
Did you see
hot.
The pictures, the paparazzi pictures of me and Ashley Tisdale getting
loved
coffee?
It. I loved
it's like,
it.
I truly thought I was cool. I mean, like, I didn't know they were taking pictures, but to see that these are the two realities, like one, like just polished casual reality of Ashley Tisdale. And then I'm just like Hagrid or something.
No.
It was like
my
very
God.
Hagrid vibes. But honestly, I find myself to be sexy. I do think that wearing hair and makeup can really enhance your ego. Yeah. Because like even catching yourself after in your casual clothes, but like you've got all your blemishes are covered and your under eyes are like zero.
Love it.
Darkness.
Yeah.
The darkness of life has been wiped away and you're like, hey, cutie.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
Would you like makeup wearing your doctor costume?
So much. It's elastic waistband and no mic pack.
Cool.
Because it's all old school, like boom mics.
That's amazing. And do you feel like, oh, I'm going to come watch you tape it on Thursday. Yeah. And I feel like I'm going to, it'll be like watching Friends.
It's the best job. It's taped. So fun.
It's so exciting.
The hours are good.
Do you think I should do like a really big weird laugh that they that I can then identify?
You're probably gonna be chilling in my dressing room. The vibe on Thursday nights is go get food. Kim puts out this amazing spread. She put out like she installed a tree and a projector with like nature vibes and then served vegan last week.
What?
Yeah, she's really amazing. She also went to high school with Obama, Kim.
Really?
Our
who craft, is Kim?
The craft. Head of our the woman that feeds us.
Wow. What would be the weirdest thing as a friend that I could do on set?
Like, I always think that. Yeah, like, and I think like naked things.
Yeah, naked things. Saying
naked just, propositions.
To me, it's always just saying weird stuff to people, high up people.
Yeah, saying the opposite. Like everybody, it's the epitome of like the sexual harassment seminar. It's like what everyone is thinking is like what weird things they could pull out of their penis.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what anyone's thinking. Bananas! Thinking about, like finger on the dick jalees.
This was your equivalent of
yeah, pulling what? Shit out of their dick.
This was the
and that's how you live forever, dog.
That was your equivalent of yeah, you just can't wait for it.
Yes, totally. You know, I think
wait,
this is the cost of doing. I just want
to
put it out there: the cost of doing business in this life is that you bomb, and sometimes you bomb. Sometimes you wrote a homeless sketch and Millen Curry Sharples is there and he books Comedy Now and it's embarrassing because you're not being funny in front of him and you're talking about homeless people. Did you ever meet Drake? No, I pretended to when I moved to New York. It was a very...
But he went to high school with Gabby, middle school with my friend Gabby, and they were in Les Mis together.
Any stories?
Yep.
What do you got?
You're not going to like it.
Oh, what is it? I know. I like what he represents in terms of coming from Toronto and being prolific as a, and like, I really like the vibe of his music and the confidence, but then there's things about him, like, obviously, like, why are you not anything political? And then also what's happening with dates? Like, would just say what is actually happening?
He was in Les Mis and Gabby had one line that she had to sing and she was really nervous and, she was like in the chorus and he was the lead, Jean Valjean. Yeah, and Gabby had to go, drink with me 2 days, come by, like that. And so there's a video of it because her parents filmed it and I've seen the video. And it's like an episode of Arrested Development where the camera's on her, she's singing, and then the camera pans over to Drake and he laughs at her like in a mean bully way. He's like,
oh no.
Yeah, but he's got braces and his name's Aubrey. And
oh no. 2 points minus to you, Drake. Two chips off the old point block. Oh, this is loud still.
Yeah.
Is it loud in your ear?
I saw a picture of him and Adele recently laughing and that made me like him.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess people are not one thing or the other. I think Drake's a complicated character. And like for me, when I moved from Toronto to New York and he was blasting everywhere, it felt like Toronto was there.
Validated.
Because he's also very Toronto.
Yeah. Would you ever get a tattoo of a Toronto tattoo?
Well, it seems like it based on the way I'm talking right now, but this doesn't really represent me either, bitch. Okay. I was at a sound bath today. Ask me anything.
Did you fall asleep?
No, but I loved. Do you meditate?
No. Everyone in my life tells me I should. Everyone's
it's just,
like,
I think it sounds like this obnoxious thing that's like so other than any state that you are in, because it really is like to decide like I'm going to try and turn off my mind. And then it's also I'm like very I never took any classes. So I'm a beginner at it.
And it takes practice.
But it's also like takes a beginner's mind to just be like, okay, I'm going to focus on my breathing. I'm going to just focus on not like, I think ayahuasca, the last episode, one of the last episodes was Jordan Firstman before he did ayahuasca. And then after he went to Peru and did ayahuasca 3 nights in a row with a shaman.
Oh my God. 3 nights in a row.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was like a wild, wild one. Listen to the app. Okay. Yeah. Jordan Firstman did ayahuasca and it was really profound. And I feel like, the central like things in life it like draws a deeper energetic attention to, and I think meditation can tap into that. I know it sounds so crazy. Like it sounds,
no, it's
it really like logically when you want to just, we're always using this. I'm trying to explain something to you with language, which is performative, which is just like a series of words that we decided. Like we always find out how fleeting. Like, yeah. You think I'm sounding crazy, but like,
no, I agree with you.
Language is just something that we learn, and we're like, I'm performing it bad for you right now. Like it's like too long, but it's like just living in that part of your brain is draining, and it's one place to live, and anxiety lives there, and like.
Like the analytical fight or flight.
What'd you say?
Like the analytical fight or flight mode.
No. Shut up. Shut up, you fucking bitch. Okay? Shut up.
You are an idiot.
Oh my God. That's really good that you tapped into your compassionate yogi self there.
That was a fun character called someone just like posturing like they figured it all out. But it's like so abusive to everyone.
This is, I mean,
in their life.
I did a diploma in shiatsu massage therapy. And so everyone was preaching
Can I sing your song? I go to school for shiatsu massage, but one thing is perfectly clear. I never want to be a shiatsu masseuse. And then it goes on and it just was so funny.
It ends with, I just wasted $6,000 in 2 years of my life. I did Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, 2 years of my life.
Oh my God. Dude.
I think it was $12,000 or something. I've never done it since. Never a day of it since. Why did I do it? Anyway,
was your original Netflix show, was that song.
But wait, my point was that all the teachers in that school were like preaching, you know, compassion and meditation, and they were the angriest people I've ever met in my life. But yeah, no, look,
you can't like hide behind it. It's not like a cure-all. There is no cure-all, but there's a way, I think.
Of course.
And I think life is for sure about balance.
Yeah, and we've lost
that's one goody-goody
spirituality.
Tip. Yeah, where did spirituality go,
we
bitch?
We threw the baby out with the bathwater when we threw out religion.
Bring back spirituality!
Yeah.
Should I cut that? Character. I like tried to keep on talking the way the sound effect was, but your face and my body didn't feel right. Look, the sound bath doesn't fix everything, okay? But I like hearing vibrations and the gongs and like honestly,
yeah, I think
all
I would
of that
love
shit
it.
Matters. Energy matters. The mm-hmm. perception of these vibrations and like, I mean, you got to get outside of the rigmarole, or all you're doing is paying rent and going to restaurants, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We went to a good restaurant last night.
Yeah, we went to Mercado last night and we pretended to have a reservation, which is my move.
Oh my God, I've never seen anything like that. It was busy. We had no reservation, and Sabrina just goes, "Hey, my assistant Megan made a reservation," and then you showed a fake email on your phone.
Yeah.
Of like her email address.
I just showed an email from someone Maggie from Sam's assistants.
Oh, okay.
Like something that she had sent, and I like kind of flashed it.
And then they were like, "We don't have that name on the list." And you were like, "Oh, okay.
Someone's
sorry.
In trouble,
yeah.
Baby."
You actually were going to fire your assistant. And then
Not really. You got to balance. Life is about balance. You got to be equal parts like disappointed and what's it called? Likable?
Yeah.
And
what's it
a
called?
Little
likeable?
Bit vengeance and, you know.
Oh, commiserating.
If this doesn't go my way, I might kill myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you played it so cool. And then I almost ruined it by going to the waiter.
You were so ghetto. You were are these toothpicks?
Oh my God. No, I went to the woman seating us. I went, "You ever get celebrities in here?" I
was like, "Oh my God, you totally did."
I was like,
did.
"What's your favorite celebrity you've ever seen?" It was bizarre, actually.
I just landed in Hollywood.
Yeah, that was my vibe.
Is Kevin Bacon here?
I've met Kevin Bacon on the street once.
What did he say?
You're not going to believe what he said. It sounds like I wrote it as a joke.
What?
Okay, I'm not kidding. This is a true story.
Can I just say about the Drake story that even Drake was so charming that even Gabby's dad, who was filming, like drifted over to her to capture his mother.
Stop filming his own daughter during her big moment.
Star? Okay, so Kevin Bacon.
You're not going to believe this. I'm walking down the street.
If I don't, I'm a loser. You're telling it to me.
Can we turn the heating off, by the way?
Honestly, you've asked me that before and I've heard it and then I've turned it back on because I want my son to be nestled in the heat of a million rainforests. Can I say that? I'm going to turn it off from my phone right now.
It's so good to see your son today.
Oh my God.
The last time I saw him, he had no words to express himself.
But isn't
today, he said cheese. He said please. He said more.
Mm-hmm.
He said oh no.
Mm-hmm.
He said.
Oh my God, the oh no video.
Oh my God. He's so cute. Thank you.
He's like a portal into, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah,
that
magic
is meditation. I don't think that you have to be meditating to meditate. I think it happens during exercise, but like getting your head out of the normal mental state that we're in.
Because
it's cuckoo making.
Yeah.
Speaking of cuckoo making.
Wait, can I say Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so I'm walking down the street in Toronto, Church and Wellesley. Walking towards me, Kevin Bacon and his wife, Kira Sedgwick, both wearing sunglasses. As we're about to pass each other, a car drives by, a convertible. The guy in the car yells and goes, oh, hey, look, it's the Invisible Man, Kevin Bacon. I'm not kidding. So we stopped walking because this guy's just yelled, look, it's the Invisible Man. Kevin Bacon stops walking. I'm not joking about this. He lowers his sunglasses on the bridge of his nose. He looks directly into my eyes and he says, sometimes I wish I was invisible. And then he keeps walking. And he said it to me,
oh,
like we were
God,
friends.
Like he was in a film between you and him.
Yeah, it was insane.
Sorry.
Hollywood Scoop.
Scoop, scoop, I got excited scoop, and pressed it twice. Scoop,
scoop, scoop, scoop. I wish I was.
I saw Kiefer Sutherland at a bar.
You definitely didn't turn the heat off. I can feel
no,
it.
No, I turned it off on my phone. Why don't you go to the net? Okay, you.
I can feel it blasting on me.
Okay, can you tell me
me
some of the facts about whether you'd rather have sex with Kevin Bacon or Kira Sedgwick while I turn the heat for sure off?
I'm gonna go Kevin Bacon. She's not.
Really?
She's not my type at all.
He has a crooked dick from Wild Things, do you know?
Wait, he has a crooked dick from Wild Things.
If you pause the part in Wild Things where he takes his dick out, it is bendy. And I remember like never seeing dicks in my life and I was thinking about that one dick.
How bendy? Can you Google it? Show me.
I'd say like 45 degrees.
Whoa. I'm currently reading a book where, I'm not kidding, every female character, it's like a memoir of a guy who was sort of had a tough adolescence, and so I empathize with him, but the crazy thing is anytime a female character arrives, he comments on like the size of her tits. So he's like, she walked over with an ample bosom.
An ample bosom,
like, yeah,
even calling it bosom is like, what era are you in?
It's bizarre.
Is he in this era?
Yeah, early 2000s this was.
Who's saying bosoms?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did this tour called Together Live, and this woman, Jennifer Rudolph Walsh, who is Oprah's book agent, she does these shows, and there's like speakers and poets, and I do stand up on it, and then on some of the cities. And
wait, can I do a small aside? Yeah. Imagine being Oprah's book agent.
I know. She's had so many dinners with her, and everybody on that stage, like a lot of her friends know Oprah, so there's just like so much Oprah being tossed around that like... It's wild. And that isn't that great? Like, you did a show where your mom was played by Lisa Kudrow. Like, that seems surreal. But then you also have to act cool and be like, yeah, whatever. Tell me about Oprah.
But if you were a book agent, you have to do no work. It's like, oh, Oprah wrote it? Yeah, we'll buy it.
Don't talk about Jennifer that way.
Sorry. I'm saying she's lazy.
Oh my God. Walk the plank.
So wait, yeah, you were doing...
So she asked these great questions. One of the questions was, what is a story that you used to tell yourself that is no longer true?
Oh, you want me to answer that now?
Start the clock, bitch. You better dance.
I used to tell myself... about myself, you mean?
I'm not giving you any tips.
Oh my God.
No. Yeah. About yourself. Like I gave you the example of this amazing poet, Amanda Gorman, and she's so incredible. And she was talking about a story that she used to tell herself was that, she would be so lucky to be at Harvard. Like it would be such a cool thing about her. And then being now in Harvard, she's like, Harvard's lucky to have me. And that's such a cool, we were talking about, I was mentioning it to you as like the essence of a real actual confidence. Like you could feel as she said that it wasn't like a fake sort of like, you're lucky to be around me. It was like genuine, like from the core confidence and such a nice.
Okay. One thing I used to tell myself is that romantic relationships were more important than friendships. Mm-hmm. And then the more of my relationships that have ended, the more I'm like, that's pretty important to have some friends.
Keep those friends around. Have you ever lost a friend because your person that you were dating didn't like them?
No, but I was in like a bad relationship for years that really affected some of my friendships, because it's hard now I have friends who've been in bad relationships.
Have a friend in bad relationships, it's just really annoying.
You can't really be honest with them because you could you're being a bad friend if you're not honest with them.
Sometimes there's like lots of breakups and then you are honest and then they go back and then it's like, okay, well then you're so kind of disconnected because you can't really, I feel like that's when like a lot of breaks happen because it's like, there's no approval.
Totally. And then the other thing is, I used to tell myself like that career stuff would make, like, I know now that happiness is not correlated to
tied to like a credit that you've been after.
No. And I see that with my friends as well. Like the more, the better they do in their jobs, it does not make them happier.
It just creates like more.
it's literally the opposite. Yeah. More pressure, more stress. So that's good to know. I got to just do sound baths and have friends.
Do a sound bath. Like, tap into things that seem like...
Do it
for me now?
Do a note?
Okay, wait. Okay, close your eyes.
Okay, I want to feel... What did you say? Perceive the vibration.
Hold one of those crystals.
I want to perceive this vibration hard.
Okay, put it on your forehead.
Imagine if I came and I didn't mean to.
I think coming is actually when you said like, what's a bold thing you could do to come into my work? You just started coming like while talking to Patty Heaton or like Ashley Tisdale or any of the boys. God. The boys are such cuties. You're going to love them so much.
Great.
All right.
Okay, I'm holding a crystal and I'm about to come.
Okay, put the crystal on your pussy.
Okay.
Close your eyes, bitch.
Is this really it?
No, I just raced towards some Zen music. And I probably can't play too much of it, to be honest, but you get the point. You feel relaxed, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No, it's the vibrations that come off the bowls. You know when you like circle around and you can kind of feel... Look, all this stuff... I mean,
I'm into it. I'm. You're preaching to the choir, babe. Imagine if I called you babe.
Listen, hot stuff.
I've never called anyone babe. That was horrible.
Have you never?
Maybe secretly.
I call people babe now. I like it.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you call Shauna? What's your nickname for her?
Little Tootie Bo Foodie.
Oh my God.
My little precious Latonia.
Latonia?
My little Clipterini. Just like a disgusting love name for a relationship that you didn't like. Like that's your person that you don't like, their person.
Clipterini.
My little Clementia. That's me. Because I definitely have someone listening named Clementia. Look, it was the way I said it. I can't be you defending every name, okay? I'm sitting here defend every name that I bash. I come. Okay. Go on. You know, one of the reviews was like, Sabrina never lets anyone finish their story. They're like, I really like the podcast. Like, it was a genuine, sweet message, but it was too honest about like, she just cuts into people talking and doesn't let them finish.
I think you've really, from your old podcast, I think you're using sound effects really well now. It used to be a non-stop barrage.
Oh my God, don't be too real on this thing. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm trying to get it. Sponsors out here. Oh my God, Tushy is a sponsor today and I really love them, so I'm excited.
Cool. Yeah, wait, what were we talking about?
I don't know. You tell me, bitch. It was a story that you used to tell yourself.
Oh, a story that I used to tell myself. Oh, yeah.
It's your big
success,
turn.
Success doesn't equal happiness and friendships are equally as important.
And some friendships, even though they've been around forever, can be gone in a dime.
Is that a threat? I have your name tattooed on me.
We haven't talked about that. I have Sabrina's, you wanted to get a tattoo and I said, I'll pay for it if you get my signature.
I was 17 years old.
She was 17 years old and I was, I guess 19.
And we went to three different tattoo parlors that refused to do it because they were like, we don't do people's names unless they're dead. And then we found a sketchy guy that did it for $40. And I know.
What a bargain.
I have your signature on my
ankle. I'll get your signature on my body.
You won't. Yeah, it's okay. I'm getting tattoos. I've accepted it.
No, I think having it as my only tattoo would be really crazy.
Yeah.
But now that I'm getting eclectic, I'll get a May Martin on me. Really? I'm really proud of you too.
Even just an MM would be huge. Yes,
I'll do MM.
That would be huge.
Okay.
Oh my God. I'd love that.
Wait, maybe just May? No,
it's getting
weird.
Shorter. Yeah. It's gonna get to be maybe just like
maybe a flying seagull that looks like an M. Sort of a bigger portrait of the ocean on my back.
Maybe it's one.
Would you get like a big landscape on yourself?
Never. Gross. I only have very small.
Disgusting. My objective for Sound Bath was be less judgmental.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Be open. Just like I've had some visitors. It's been a little bit stressful. I just
am
like,
I one of them?
Like,
yeah,
just some people just don't really know when to leave. What time is it? Okay. I've got an early morning, May.
Yeah, I got your name tattooed on me. And then also the thing to say is that when I was like a sketchy homeless teen and living in weird apartments and I had no money.
I want a more personal turn.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing now is that I literally was just...
This is how I am, like, when I'm just hanging out with my friends, too, by the way. I just sort of, like, direct them.
So, I remember you would bring me, like, boxes of cereal and food when I couldn't afford food.
Yeah, my mom get them together.
Yeah,
so
like,
cute.
Boxes of food.
There'd be, like, a May box in my house, and when something was on sale or she thought of May, she would put it in the box
and then
for me.
There was... Because I was like on welfare and then spending all the welfare.
With a really weird lady. May was living in a room off a really sketchy park with a really...
Oh, there were many different
weird lady.
Apartments, but that one was on Bleecker Street Joanne.
Should we bleep it?
No, let's talk about Joanne.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, and she had two cats. She had two cats that she made me say goodbye to every time I left the house.
Oh my God.
She'd be like, you didn't say goodbye to Elvis.
I have to say one thing, okay? This is just a public notice. Cats are beautiful. I get it. People love them. But if you're getting addicted to cats in your old age, you were going to get bonkers. And I just want that to be known.
Yeah.
Like the cliche of cat lady is not every person with cats, but watch out for your cat friends.
Yeah.
Just relate to me as I shit talk them.
Yeah.
Because they're off the deep end.
But also you one time came to my apartment and you were like, we're going on a surprise. Took me out, bought me running shoes.
Is that bad?
That was good. But because my shoes had holes in them and I literally had, and you bought me brand new running shoes and you're like, pick anything you want. And then I picked the worst ones.
The reality underneath these stories are that you were so poor and so broke and kind of like homeless and young.
Yeah, like hungry. Like,
yeah, because we're doing drugs.
How did May get off of drugs? What's happening in her career now? Will May say this? Well, yes, she will, because here's a clip of it.
I think the new thing is edging. That's what everyone's into. That's what I'm into.
And Sabrina says this.
Do you know something crazy? Patricia Heaton played Jennifer Love Hewitt's mom on Party of Five.
The girls laugh about this. All coming up on Thursday's episode of The Goody Goody.
I love you.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.